Welcome to Marriage University. My name is Tina Heisman. I'm a certified master life coach specializing in marriage. The topic for today's podcast is how to bring more spark into your marriage. But before we get started, I want to let you know that I have a private Happy Wives community on Facebook where you can come to get inspiration for your marriage. Search The Happy Wives Community in the Facebook search bar, or head on over to my website, tinaheisman.com, and click on the banner at the bottom of the front page. Also, I have created a free download called the Marriage Makeover Guide. It's a guide to help you make over your marriage into a happier, more joyful, and peaceful place. I like to refer to it as a solution tool you can use to solve problems in your marriage. So visit my website to download it. So now let's dive in and talk about how to bring more spark into your marriage. Many women, if not most women, would love to have more spark in their marriages, but they're not sure how to get it. So I want to teach you how today, and how to do it without asking anything from your husband. I've worked with many clients in the past before who have done it this way and have seen great success. So I'm going to share five different things that you can do and focus on that will create more spark in your marriage. But I'm not suggesting you have to do all five of them right away. Maybe just listen for the one that resonates you the most and work on that one. Okay, so let's dive in. The first skill that you could try to create more spark in your marriage is embracing your feminine gifts. So to explain this one, we need to start with a super quick biology lesson. Women are biologically wired as nurturers. We have skills to anticipate the needs of our husbands and take care of nurturing our marriage relationship, and also to do the problem solving when things have gone awry. Notice, you're the one listening to this podcast, not your husband, right? Like we're kind of the caretakers of the relationship. Now, men are biologically wired as providers and protectors. So it's not that our relationship isn't important to them, but the way that they show us that the relationship is important to them is by working hard and establishing a career. And so what I want to make sure that we all understand is that this is how God made us. And it was done on purpose, right? Men and women are different. So here's a statistic to help support this information, a recent statistic by author Shanti Feldhahn. She discovered that 78% of men said, even if their wife earned enough money to support the family, they would still feel a compulsion to provide for their family. Right? So that's a pretty huge number. So we're not saying every single man, but 78% of men said even if you earned more than enough money, they would still feel that internal need to provide. That's because that is how they are wired. So on the flip side of that, in her research, Shanti found that 70% of women said they would rather have financial struggles than relationship struggles with their husband. Right? So that's just showing like we're very focused on the relationship and health, and the men are focused on the finances. So this is how God made us. And so this is what we have to work with, right? So that doesn't mean that we have to suffer, that we just have to accept that men don't necessarily always focus on the relationship. But what we can do is use our feminine gift of relationship to bring that spark in, right? To bring that spark back. But how do we do it? You know, I've coached many a woman who has told me that she sat her husband down and told him that he needed to be more intimate or more romantic. And how do you think that worked? It didn't. It rarely works because that makes a husband feel like he's failed. It makes him feel criticized. And that makes him feel angry. And so I want to teach you a different approach. And that different approach is using your gift of relationship. In fact, that means taking initiative specifically, right? So for example, if you are hoping for more romance in your relationship, or if you are hoping for more spontaneity in your relationship, or if you are hoping for more kindness in your relationship or wishing that your husband would do these things for you, what I would suggest is that you go first, that you take the lead on creating that in your relationship, that if you want more romance, that you do something romantic today, that if you want more spontaneity, you initiate something that's more spontaneous today. And here's the thing. As you do that, when you put in that effort, I promise you that your husband will catch on and he will start leaning more in that direction and sending you more love and attention in your direction. This has worked for me and my relationship, and it has worked for my clients and their relationships. And I've given you research today that helps back up that this happens and that this works. And so if this seems like something that would work for you, I would love to ask you to give it a try for 7 days. Just make it an experiment for 7 days to do one thing each day that might bring more into your relationship of that thing that you're wishing your husband would do. And I would love to hear from you after 7 days of working on it, what happened and how it went. Okay? So that is skill number one. Skill number two is creating more of our own happiness. Let me tell you this. A happy woman is a very sexy woman to a man, right? So we have got to take the initiative to create that for ourselves. Sometimes in marriage, we women end up putting more stress on our husbands for giving us happiness or making us happy, doing things to make us happy, saying things to make us happy. But when we lean too hard on our men like that, it zaps the spark right out of them. So it would be better if we really want spark in our relationship to show up in it as full and whole and well taken care of. So if you're feeling depleted, like you need something more, please let me give you the permission to take care of yourself. Practice some soulful self-care. So when I talk about self-care, I usually try to talk about 4 main components: our body, our mind, our heart, and our soul. Because I think when we focus on those 4 areas, that's a holistic picture of us, right? In mind, body, and spirit. We need to take care of all of those areas to be well taken care of. Sometimes we focus more on one area and others are depleted and we still don't feel balanced. But here we are learning that if we will take care of our body by trying to eat a little bit of a better of a balanced diet, trying to get a little exercise, trying to get a little more sleep, making sure that our body, which is our instrument in this world, is well prepared for the challenges that we face every day. And our mind, we've got to work to continue to stimulate our minds in the adult world, right? Sometimes we get so focused on our kids and our kids' world. What do you love to do? What stimulates your mind? Is it reading or taking classes or being creative with art or dance or pottery? Or is it your career that really makes you feel fired up and energetic? What is it for your mind? Keep learning and growing so that you can feel that fullness in your mind and that excitement and energy. The next aspect that of our self-care is our heart. Do you slow down long enough to take care of your heart? Do you listen to your feelings, what they're telling you? Do you take time to honor them? I know, it's so hard. It seems so overwhelming, but we've got to do it. And the other thing is taking time to connect our heart with the hearts of others. You know, girls, we were made for relationship in this life. And so often in motherhood and marriage, we get so busy that we're not making time for the relationships that matter most. And so I would encourage you, take care of your own heart. Try to listen to your own feelings and honor them. And also connect with the hearts of those that you love. Okay, finally, is your soul, our spiritual life. What are you doing to connect with God on a daily basis that makes you feel good? You know, it could be prayer time that's verbal or written, or going to services, or diving into scripture, or reading a devotional, or journaling, your prayers, you know, writing them down. What is it that makes your soul feel good? Looking at those things. Girls, we have got to fill up our tanks because we can't give from emptiness. And if you will work on this, look out, because you are going to be creating current in your relationship, girl. Happiness is sexy and your husband is going to love it. So you have my permission. Get out there, take care of yourself, make yourself feel awesome, and your husband is automatically going to be attracted to that. Yes, ma'am. I tell you the truth. Okay, so the third way that you could create more spark in your marriage is by learning about respect. This is truly one of the sexiest things that you could do for your husband. He would love this. I'm not sure if you have heard my podcast before and when I teach about respect, but the need for respect from a man is hardwired into him by God, and it's not something many of us wives know about. And we unfortunately accidentally do and say things that make our husbands feel like we don't respect them. And we're not doing it on purpose. It's just that we don't know better because we're wired differently. And so a great resource on this topic is a book called For Women Only by Shanti Feldhahn. She conducted research with men and found 75% of men would rather feel unloved than disrespected. Did you get that? 75% of men would rather feel unloved than disrespected. And the difference is that as women, we want to be loved for who we are on the inside, but men want to be loved for what they do on the outside. The burning question that your husband is wondering all the time is, do I measure up and am I good enough? And so often we as women unknowingly tell them that they're not good enough. So to get specific on this, our husbands want to know that we respect the knowledge that they have, their opinions, and the decisions that they make. And so the practical takeaway here is to start just watching, I would say, how you respond to him when he shares his knowledge or his opinions or his decisions. Are you always making him wrong? You know, even when he is wrong, do we have to tell them that they're wrong? Because as soon as we do that, it sends them into defense mode, and that certainly kills the spark. And so this would just be something to start watching, I would say. And one big lesson that I've learned in my life is to really pick my battles, if you will. Not every thought that comes in my head needs to come out of my mouth. And I don't always have to tell him he's wrong when he is. And sometimes, you know, we just need to maybe take a break for a second and relax and not be correcting them all the time. You know, that it takes us more into mother mode than wife mode. So I would love to talk to you more about that if that is a more difficult concept to grasp, but you would really make your husband feel very attracted to you if he saw you respecting his knowledge, his opinions, and his decisions. And so, again, the practical tool on that one, I would say, is taking a deep breath before responding to him and just doing some listening and watching of how you guys interact and see if this is an issue in your relationship or not. It most definitely is in mine. So the next concept we'll move on to for creating more spark in your marriage is a similar concept, and that is letting go of control. So I don't know about you, but like, have you ever told your husband what to do, what to think, what to say, what to wear, what to eat, how to drive, where to park? I totally have. This is a surefire way to dim the spark in our marriage. We're trying to be helpful when we say these things, right? Our intention is good. It's not to dim the spark. We're trying to be helpful. Unfortunately, that these types of things tell our husbands that we don't think they're smart enough to figure it out for themselves. And so, kind of like with the respect issue, what we want to do is, before we start to tell our husband what to do or what to say or what to think, or help them out with something, is to take a deep breath and really just ask yourself, do I really need to say this right now, right? Do I really need to say this, or should I just let him go about it on his own? And a lot of times, I think the answer will be to let him go about it on his own. Even if he does make a mistake, that's okay, because he's got to learn on his own, right? And so keep that in mind, that that will be a definite way. Your husband will definitely feel more attracted to you if he's noticing that you're stepping back and telling him less what to do and how to do it. And in fact, it might be a little funny or uncomfortable at first because he's going to be expecting you to tell him what to do or how to do it. But when you say, you know, I'm sure you'll do the right thing, or I believe in you, or something like that, look out, because he's going to get excited. This is, at first he might be a little freaked out, but then he'll get used to it and he will be feeling much more attracted to you. Okay, girls, finally, the last way for today that we'll talk about bringing more spark into your marriage is to know your husband's love language. This can be a game changer. And I know a lot of you already know about the love languages, but just in case, like, I really have to mention this, because the love languages, they change marriages, they save marriages. And if you're wanting spark in your marriage, this one is so foundational, because if you are trying to show your husband love in the way that you like to receive love, he might not be getting that message, because he needs to receive love in a different way. And so that is what is taught by the book, The Five Love Languages by Gary Chapman, that we all have one primary love language that we respond to and that we need, and that people tend to give love in the way they prefer to receive it. So it's important for us to learn our spouse's love language so that they can feel our love coming from us and we're not taking actions that are just not hitting the mark, you know? So just in case you haven't heard of them, the five love languages are quality time, words of affirmation, gifts, acts of service, and physical touch. So definitely pick up that book if you haven't read it, Five Love Languages, and figure out what your love language is, figure out what your husband's love language is, and you will definitely notice more spark when you start speaking the right love language. It's so simple and so exciting. And the book, you will love reading. It's jam-packed with like stories and practical tips for you to learn from. Okay, girls, so just a quick recap of the five skills that a wife can use to bring more spark into her marriage. Remember, we said just maybe work on one of them, and then you could move on to others in the future. First, use your feminine gift of relationship to help create the relationship you want. Number two, take charge of your happiness and don't lean too much on your husband for it. Number three, remember that men thrive on receiving respect. Number four, practice giving up trying to control everything and give your husband the opportunity to take the lead. He is going to love that. And finally, number five, learn and practice your husband's love language. So I know this is all easier said than done, but if you would like a little guidance and accountability as you work on it, visit my website to apply for a complimentary life coaching discovery call. I have some great tools to help you along in your journey, and I would love to work with you. Thank you so much for listening in. Let me know if you have any specific questions. And of course, my free marriage makeover guide on my website at tinaheisman.com will help you with any marriage challenges that you might have. Join me on Facebook in the Happy Wives community, and I look forward to seeing you next week. Thank you.